Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Good evening and welcome to Urban Lifestyle Cafe. I'm Michael, your bougie black brother, and I'm here with my co-host, Alicia.
Hello.
And this evening we decided, or this week actually, we decided to stay in and see one of the Golden Globe contenders, as well as a critically acclaimed movie from Netflix called Mudbound. So I was kept saying, hey, what's that movie Mudbone? Hey, that movie Mudbone. No, it's Mudbound. So it's a Netflix movie. So as you know, Netflix still does like their own releases of movies, and it competes with the outside movies or theatrical movies. And it happens to do that. But this time we was lucky to be able to grab it for Netflix. So Alicia and I said, in between everything else we're doing, we're going to take a look at this Mudbound.
Yes, definitely.
So this was, here's the short. So if you go look it up, the short is two men return home from World War II to work on a farm in rural Mississippi, where they struggle to deal with racism and adjust to life after war. Simple.
Sure was.
Sounds simple.
Sure does.
But it's not. It's a lot more, because when I was reading it and the clips that I seen, and everybody's like, oh, this is one of the top rated, you know, movies. Netflix got one of the best movies that's going to be nominated for an Oscar. I was kind of like, yeah, but it doesn't sound like anything worth a damn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? So, and then you looked it up, babe, and you looked up the director.
Yeah, her name is Dee Reese. Now, I could not get that name wrong.
No, Dee Reese. D-E-E-R-E-E-S. So she done small shows here and there, but her recent major motion picture was Pariah. She had a short film that she did, and then she did the full length. Then she did Bessie, which was...
I seen that with Queen Latifah.
Yeah, with Queen Latifah.
That was really good. That was
so she
really
wrote
good.
That too.
Yeah, that was really good.
So she wrote it and directed it. So, and was that a TV or?
Yes, that was an HBO movie. Yeah, that was HBO.
So, kind of interesting. So, this young lady, she does production, writing, and directing. So, this was really interesting. So, we start looking at it and be like, should we look at it? But she helped with the screenplay on this too. So, it's a novel by Hillary Jordan. And then Dee Reese and Virgil Williams actually did the screenplay, which, you know, again, I'm telling you, on the surface, it seems like, yeah, whatever, we'll see. So we sat down to kind of look at it. And I think one of the things Leisha saw at the beginning, I'll let her say it, that she was kind of like, whoa, this seems interesting. How did you make it as, how, when you saw it, you was like, wow, this is interesting.
It was very interesting. The very beginning part of it, the actual, the camera.
Yep. The camera action.
The camera action was really, it was amazing. Because it gave you this impression that, because it went like to the end of it. So it started at the end.
Yeah, so it started at... something at the end. Something occurred, and they were digging a ditch. And from that, it was two guys that was digging a ditch, and then it started to rain. So Leisha loved the editing. So the editing and the movement of the cameras, it was pretty cool. I was kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. Let me see if this continues or go on from there. But the one thing I thought that stood out that I kind of really, really like, if you do it well, was the narration.
Mm-hmm.
So there was each character had a portion that they narrated, and they jumped in and they started narrating while something was going on in the background. That was kind of totally different. but they was telling you about something that was going on while they was doing something else.
Right, right.
So they was filling in gaps of things without looking at it.
That's right.
So you're looking at a portion and you're hearing a portion. And it was different characters. And then when they moved to the next character, they just showed up.
That's right. They
and
did.
It was like, wow, this is, damn. I love this narration, yeah, the way it was jumping from character to character.
It was really good. I mean, the movie was well done. Mm-hmm. Let's say that.
Yeah.
It was easy to follow. You related and understood to the characters.
Yes.
Because that's, I mean, because it was the one, you know, what you said, Mississippi.
So Mississippi, let me. So even though I gave this short little briefing of what the synopsis that they give you, let me give you a quick shot of it. It was about two brothers that one of the brothers was the big, how would you say, charismatic, you know, fancy guy going around. And then there was the hardworking brother that was there with his racist father. And he pulled a woman from Mississippi and made him his wife and wanted to live his life on a farm and brought her. And it was foreign to her. She was a school bred and, you know, this old maid that men wasn't ready to marry her, but this simple man came to the house, you know, talked with their family and brought her along with him and said, be my wife. And she was like, okay. So a lot of the story was based around the way she saw things.
Right, right.
And the life with her husband. So I kind of thought it would be the guys, but she had a lot of dialogue and a lot of the narration came to her.
Mm-hmm.
But when they moved to the farm, that's where you saw the black people that was on the farm, which was some sharecroppers.
Right.
That's what
right.
they were. They was actually right. working the farm so they would be able to get their own money to get their own piece
right, because of life. They came from the city to the farm.
Right.
And he got ripped off.
Yeah, because they tricked his ass.
Yeah, because he's supposed to have rent this house.
This big old house.
And the guy's like, he got $100 from him and then sold the house.
And yeah. sold the house to somebody else.
Exactly.
So I was like, damn. And his dad was like, you stupid fuck. Yeah, that's you got ripped. The racist dad was like something else. So, you know, you've seen him before. I don't remember his name, but his name. Yeah, Jonathan Banks. So those who don't know who Jonathan Banks, go back to Breaking Bad, and Jonathan Banks was his criminal friend that always organized things for them. And he was, I forgot the name, but it'll come to me sooner or later. But yeah, so his racist dad was, you know, he was nigga, nigga, nigga all throughout the movie. But
yes, he sure was.
Again, he played a role that was true to the time and the thoughts of these people. So as you got to know these and the sharecroppers and the black family and, you know, the children working the farm, one of the children was one of the oldest ones and he was working with the family. All of a sudden, 1941, life changed. The brother who came down and visit left and went away. And then they kind of found out that he had to go to war. So he went to war. And the young black boy from the black sharecroppers, he went to war as well.
Right. And there were just two different parts of the war.
So they one was a tanker.
Right.
Yep, exactly, baby. And the other one was a
pilot.
Yep. He was a pilot.
He was a pilot. Mm-hmm.
So the whole movie dwelled within almost four sets of storylines of the black family.
Right.
The family with her name was Laura McLean, and her husband on the farm with her children.
From the city.
With her children yeah. and a racist dad. Then her brother, his brother.
His brother, right. Going to war. Right.
And then their son, the sharecropper's son.
Going to war as well. Yeah. And it was like, well, they were gone almost 4 years, I think it was.
Yeah, exactly. Four years. So it blended the storylines. And some of the editing, which I thought was really cool, and I didn't tell Leisha about that, but the editing kind of flashed from people falling out of a tank to a person falling off the roof.
A
shattering of a window
in his brother's house.
In his brother's house, to a shattering of the window of with his brother in an airplane.
Yeah, his partner.
Yeah, his pilot being shot.
Shot, exactly.
So the blending of the editing was so cool because it almost like, what are they talking about? And then the narration didn't break from the narration, that saying, oh, all of a sudden, let's start talking about this. It stayed with the narration, but the narration showed you one thing while what you seen was something else. But it wasn't distracting. So it blended really, really well. The one that played the son, his name is Jason Mitchell. He was Ronzel Jackson. So the guy who played that, his portion of the war was he was accepted overseas. And he had to come all the way back and become all these names and nigger and had to, he couldn't walk into the front door. He had to leave out of the back door. And he was like, I served to protect y'all, but yet I still get this. So he struggled with that. He struggled with everything that he was free to do and appreciated to come back to be treated like that. And the other guy knew about that because he was right there with him while it was going on.
Yep.
And they were almost had a kinship of saying, yeah, they treated me like crap. You know, they had the same scenario when they was driving together. He said, did they piss in your helmet? He's like, yep, he did it to me. He said he did it to you too. He asked the white guy and he was like, yeah, you know, I was in the cockpit. And all of a sudden, I put my helmet on because they was firing. And then I just felt this liquid going down my face. And I thought I was shot. And he was like, man, I smelled like a latrine. And, you know, which is the bathroom, or smell like piss. And they said he was never able to live it down because he didn't check it before he put it on his head. But they related. And they struggled because of the loss and the differences. So the black guy wasn't traumatized by the killing. He was traumatized by being free and then his freedom being taken back from
him. Right.
Where the white guy was traumatized because the people around him died and he didn't.
Yes.
And it was so interesting, but they bonded because they were together. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. So, but back to the farm, that relationship with them just hanging together because they couldn't relate to being back in Mississippi. They kind of was hoping, I wish I would be back. I think it would have been easier if we would just go back. And, you know, they went around and they struggled. You know, the brother, Jamie, he was having nightmares. So he kept having nightmares. And so there was a little catch, too. The brother's wife, Laura, you know, he saw, I think the brother saw that, too, but the nasty-ass father was like, I see how you're looking at him. You want my son. I'm not sure my stupid son don't see what's going on. And I was like, yeah, that's just fucked up. But
yeah, because he was just an evil old...
He was an evil old racist.
Yeah, he was.
Played it well, though.
But the thing is that he, you know, the part that was really interested to me was when the black guy was walking, the black young soldier was walking down the street from his street from his house.
Uh-huh.
And they capture him. And he had he called his boys, he took the truck and got his KKK boys and get the black boy, and he was trying to he was getting ready to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And his son went right between them.
Yeah. So, but prior to that, the reason why they chased him down was when his dad was hanging out with his other racist friend, he passed by his son and he saw the black guy in the truck.
Yeah, but he also had left a letter in the truck,
so
too.
So he saw the black guy in the truck. And so he confronted his son when he got home and he was just smacking him. And his son was like, yeah, whatever, dude, whatever. So he was pissed. And then he jumped in the truck. And then when he jumped in the truck, prior to that, when they were riding together, the young man, Ronzel, the black man's son, he had a letter from Germany that the girl he was having sex with had his son.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So, but he left the letter in the truck. So when his father jumped in the truck, he read it and he was like, I'm going to go get my Klansman. That's a sin. That's a sin that a black man will sleep with a white woman and blah, 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 blah. So that was the case with that. And then when they captured him, you know, his son found out what he was doing and he was like, yo, the hell with that. You can't do this. And he put a gun to his father's head. But, you know, the Klansmen are dirty anyway. So they jumped on him and beat his son's ass and... And they strung up Ronzell. Mm-hmm. So when they threw water on him, and I mean, because the one guy knocked him out cold, the son. He knocked out Jamie cold. And then when he came to, he said, so he has a crime and he has to pay for his crime. What crime, what shall it be? And he wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't say anything. He said, he's going to lose his eyes, he'll lose his tongue, or he'll lose his balls. You got to pick something. He said, if you got to pick something, or we'll pick it for you. And you don't know what he picked, which was, you know, I think the camera work was really cool, too. So,
because it gave you the impression that they cut off his balls.
Right. So the camera work covered him.
Right, right.
So you wouldn't see his genitalia or his balls. You wouldn't see his balls.
Right,
so,
right.
So you assumed that was the case because his mouth wasn't open, his eyes wasn't open. So you don't know what it was.
Right.
But they said he's still breathing. So you knew they didn't just kill him.
Right.
So they took him away and everything. But in between all of this, this is what made this the most interesting. I'm telling you, when you hear the narration throughout this, the narration talks about the feelings of the characters. You know, there was another character that was on the farm, a white sharecropper, that she was pregnant, and the brother kicked him off the farm.
Because he didn't, yeah, because he wasn't doing shit. Yeah,
he was lazy as fuck. But they kicked him off the farm, and his wife was pissed off, and she got pregnant, and he was sleeping with other women, and she kept coming back to the wife saying, hey,
I need to see your husband.
I need to see your husband. Or you need to make him keep us, and we ain't got nowhere to go, and boom, boom, boom. But so that was another scenario. But before we get back to what happened with the son, Mary J. Blige was the wife of Hap Jackson, which was the father of the black family sharecroppers that was there.
And she's also being... She's also being nominated.
Yeah, so she's being nominated for Best Supporting Actress.
And a Golden Globe.
At the Golden Globes. Mm-hmm. So, Mary J. Blige, as soon as I saw her, I was like, oh, she looks like a young Kizzy. I mean, well, a young from...
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg.
So, I was like, whoa, that looked like a young Whoopi Goldberg right there. Mm-hmm. But she played a strong mother. She had her narration. She had one part on it that I thought was really strong. When the white woman children, Laura's children, had the whooping cough. And they said, look, we can't get a doctor because it was raining like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the bridge was just...
Yeah, it's just constantly gone. Raining up in that bitch. It was just raining, 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 raining. So he ran to their house. You know, her husband always constantly running to them, running to the black people asking for help. So they ran in.
That was a good one. You right about that.
They went and grabbed her and said, you have to help me, please. I'll pay you. And, you know, so she showed up. And then her narration in the background was like, my mother always, I'm paraphrasing, my mother always took care of the other children. And we had to be second. And I said, I will never do that to my children. But when she went over there and saw what the case was, and she was taking care of their children, and she saw her racist father-in-law just sitting there.
Talking shit
while she was taking care of the children. And then he was like, go get me some water. You get me some goddamn water. And she just grabbed that knife and just held it. And she said, but I realize she did it out of love. She did it out of love because she loved her children. And she wanted them safe. The love of her children not mm-hmm. the love of the white women's children, mm-hmm. but the love of our own children,
right.
kept her safe. Because if the white women's children weren't safe, then they would take it out on them.
Right. That's
so
true.
She realized that she didn't do it just to take care of somebody else's children. She did it to take care of her own children. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The love of her children, I had to keep them safe. So if I have to work for these white people and do something different just to keep my children safe, it's because I love them. It may seem like I want to take care of them more than my own, mm-hmm. but I am taking care of them. And I thought that was a really, really strong statement. And she was thinking it. The narration was there. But you could see her actions like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have to do this. And her actions showed you that. So that was a really, really, you know, strong point in there. So if they nominate her, they'll go straight to that right there. And I can see that strong statement being something really, really important. So I love that, though.
You have always said this, and I could continue believing, you know, this is true. A good director make a good actor.
Yep, absolutely.
And so when I've seen Mary J. do The Wiz, and it was not that good.
No.
She was not acting really good in that. But when I see her in this, I know that she has some potential.
She has some skills.
Right. And that's because this director not only did she pull out such good acting out of Mary, but a lot of the other actors as well, because this was definitely good.
Yeah, and it was not a lot of known actors it wasn't. Or actresses.
It was not.
But they played very good roles.
Yeah, it was not. Because, you know Mary, you knew the wife, husband. I didn't know the brother.
Yeah, his name is Jason Clark.
Right. Didn't know the brother too much.
No, he seems a little new.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was on a couple of movies. He was on Tron Legacy, Troy. Not a lot of, you know, nothing that really stood out.
Right,
nothing
because you know, you don't know. And like right now, we really don't know because we're just finding out what movies he did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I said, you know, and who she's going up against, as in the Golden Globes, is I can tell you right now, she's not gonna win.
So
it was a nice nomination.
No, so I don't know. So go ahead, tell us who she's going up against, Ben.
She's going up against Hong Chau of Downsizing, which was with Matt Damon.
Right.
Okay. Allison Jenny is I, Tanya, which we said we want to see.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
I mean, want to see it because, you know,
Tanya Harding thing that she knocked her in the leg and she was kind of mm-hmm. the ice skater and everything.
And then you got Lady Bird, which is Laurie Metcalf.
Yep.
And then Octavia Spencer, The Shape of Water.
Yep.
And Octavia has been doing a lot of, this year she's been in a lot of movies this year.
Has she?
Yeah, she's been in a couple of movies this year.
What movies is that?
Let's see, give me a second. Octavia has been, because The Shape of Water is one of those movies that they like really are excited about.
So she haven't really been in anything. Not this year. Nothing has stood out to the point of, oh, yeah, that's what she was in. She was in, I don't know, The Shack, Small Time Crime, and Gifted. I have no idea.
Okay.
Nothing. The only one that she stood out.
I saw The Shack, and you said Gifted. I saw Gifted. I didn't see The Small Town Crime. So she's been, that's why I said she's been a couple of things this year. I didn't say a couple of things that was
major.
Yes.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Okay. I said she was in a couple of things this year, babe.
Yeah. So not worth it. So mm-hmm. she stays busy.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So her face is being out there. Hong Chau. I don't know who that is. But... She, they, the top thing is her being in, yep, Just Here. So she plays, Just Tremé. Big Little Lies, she was on that. And, Tremé. Nothing really major. Nothing major that you could say, wow, okay. So it could be a good standout role for her. You know what I mean?
Which one is this?
Hong Chau.
Yeah, okay.
Hong Chau.
Okay.
But Allison Janney and I, Tonya, again, based on the directing, we'll see. You know, again, like I said, if a director takes them and they kind of just jumps out, I think this movie as a whole, Mudbound, was a really good movie, and it surrounded Mary J. to make her look better,
too. I know. That's what I say. I mean, because you really, she didn't.
You said she wouldn't win, though.
I mean, no, she's not going to win. She didn't speak a lot, you know, in her role. She
done enough, though.
But she did. She
as a
did.
Supporting role.
She did.
So as a supporting role, baby, she don't have to do a lot.
But she's going against Octavia Spencer, so.
And Octavia Spencer didn't win last year.
Remember? I'm sorry. She's a very, very good actress. One of the best out there.
Yeah, she
is. And so, I mean, honestly and truthfully, and then another thing is they called out the Golden Globes because there was a lot of good movies other than the one they listed.
And TV shows
that didn't get the, how would you say, didn't get the props they deserve. So Golden Globes got called out. Let's say that. They got called out on some crappy picks.
Mm-hmm. So she was nominated for, Hidden Figures. And she won for The Help. And now she's being nominated for The Shape of Water. So she's keeping her name out there. So her performance is being, touted as very damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Which, she can win. She can win. But the thing is, I think Golden Globes ain't as tough as the actual Oscars. So that's why I'm thinking that Mary J. may have a better opportunity. The problem is they didn't nominate the whole movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
So motion picture, Mudbound wasn't one of the best motion picture dramas. Call Me By Your Name, Dunkirk, The Post, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. Again, The Post and The Shape of Water just came out. Three Billboards came out a couple of weeks ago.
That came out last month.
Who?
Three Billboards.
Yeah, last month was like a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Today's, what is it, the 12th?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a couple of weeks ago. But The Shape of Water just got released. The Post hasn't been out. Dunkirk has been out, which is an amazing movie.
They said Call Me By My Name. The Post is really good, they say.
So The Post is a Spielberg. Is it a Spielberg? Or is it
The Post
or the other guy?
You said The Post is a Spielberg.
It's a Spielberg movie. So, and he got all of the stars on there. So it's an opportunity for him to have a blockbuster movie with, Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks and a couple of other minor players right there. But an opportunity for them to get nominated. And, that's usually what Spielberg does, to get a big name.
But, he has his favorites, though. He has his favorites. That's normal with a lot of directors and writers producers. But they have their favorite.
But that's running at the end. But anyway, so again, let's get back to the movie. Movie was very, very good. It was very good. I'm not sure on the big screen. Well, on the big screen, it'll still play well. I think it still will play well. I think it's a little different to go to the movies to see, but one of the Oscars independent movies, you will definitely throw that in there. Because I think it has a couple of, awards in independence. It was, what is it?
The Sundance, what is it?
Broadcast Film Critics Association, okay. Detroit Film,
okay.
Film Independent Spirit Awards, Gotham Awards, Hollywood Film Awards, Image Awards, a lot of nominees there, Los Angeles Film Critics. So it has a lot of different New York Film Critics. It has a lot of wins and nominations because of this movie. So very, very good. It was a very good movie. So I rate this a probably a 7.5.
Really?
Yeah, I think this is a very good movie. Well, I'm going to give it a 7.75. Almost an 8. And the reason why I say almost an 8 because I think the overall movie was really good. I love the editing. I love the narration. I think the acting was good. I don't think it was a standout acting, but I think it was good. I think the story was good. And I think the overall movie was very, very good. But for me, I don't think I'll watch it again. So if I don't watch it again, you really won't get an 8 from me. So, but I think the quality of the movie and the director, I give her a lot of credit. I wish to see her again
because
how she did this.
She really did a good job on directing this movie, and I give it a 7.
You give it a straight 7?
Just 7.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Because? What was it lacking that you would give it a 7?
It was lacking. I mean, she's a good director. I think that she did just right for the acting part for the people. But I didn't see, there wasn't big stars in there. And I wasn't too, that to me was like, I didn't know who they were besides Mary J. Blige. But I gave it a 7 because she did a really good job at directing. I think that if she had famous actors, I would give it a much higher.
Famous actors or experienced actors? Because
I think
don't have a lot of experience, but I think she did a really good job.
That's why I gave her a 7. If she had, say, for example, Queen Latifah, I'd give it a little bit more.
I wouldn't.
I would because I know Queen Latifah had the quality to make that role even better.
Honestly, based on the narrative that Mary J. had, I think it would have been the same. I don't think you could have got much more out of it.
Well, they didn't. I mean, honest and truthfully,
I don't think you could have got much more, Tammy.
I think she could have because it's like, you know, like I said, when we seen The Wiz, and I'm seeing her in The Wiz, and she was like, you know, she was just like talking.
Yeah, she wasn't. It wasn't much in it. Queen Latifah was fantastic on there,
mm-hmm.
But she had a lot of energy and everything like that.
Right.
So when I see Queen Latifah, I don't see her too subdued. So for her to do a subdued character, I don't know if she would have brought that across that well.
I think she would have. I think that if she had a better, I think that if she has some maybe a little bit famous, I think that role, I would have gave her more if she had somebody a little bit more famous for that role.
So I'm not trying to change your mind, but what I'm trying to say is she got nominated. So she obviously did a damn good role for her to be recognized.
Don't get us started on this, babe, because you know for a fact that there's plenty of movies that got nominated, and we said we didn't want to see that shit.
No. I'm not. But look Even at all of these good. Other. But look at all of these other critics awards that Mary J. got nominated for.
Mary J. got nominated for critics awards. You say.
So she got best ensemble with one. Best Supporting Actress, again, Mary J. Best Supporting Actress, again, Mary J. She's the one that really, and the guy Jason Mitchell, both of them got nominated for miscellaneous through all of these little different awards. So they did. So that's why I'm saying, I hear you, baby, but she made her stand out.
But that, yeah, the director did.
So that's why I'm saying the director would have done the same thing with anybody else.
And they would have still got the nomination.
That's my point.
But if there was a better, I feel, if I seen somebody that I know was...
You would have felt a lot more comfortable and said, oh, she did an amazing role.
Yes.
So to me, no, I'm good because she, as a supporting actress, she did exactly what she should have. Because I'm looking at it like the main actress, and she wasn't. She should have been. The criteria on the best female actress, I was looking at it in that way and saying, nah, she didn't do that good of a job.
But she wasn't the lead role.
Exactly. So the fact that she was a supporting actress, which is a supporting role, she shouldn't stand out. She should just do a good role.
I'm sorry.
No, baby. I'm not trying to change your mind.
I mean, because again, there's other movies out there that could replace her character and the Golden Globes for best supporting actress.
Like,
I can't think of any right now, babe. Come on. Do you put me on the spot like
that? No, I'm not putting you on the spot. When you're talking and saying there's plenty other people, if you don't know the people.
We haven't seen no other. I mean, there's other movies we've seen, babe.
Baby, there's other movies we've seen.
Like, for example, people
haven't done that well.
They didn't do, like, what happened to Wonder Woman?
So, should the people in Wonder Woman get
nominated? No, there was no other women, and she was the only star in that one.
Yeah, there was some other women in it.
But I mean, there was other characters. I mean, other movies we've seen, and maybe it wasn't later on down the line.
But I don't think they were that good, though.
Okay.
Baby, we haven't seen a lot of good movies this year that stands out as Oscar worthy.
Okay.
I'm being honest. And you know, I watch them closer than you do. There was no standout women roles that is Oscar worthy or Golden Globe worthy. This, yeah, I'll give her that. I will.
I mean, we'll know. Has the other ones haven't announced their nominees yet?
No. Golden Globe, People's Choice, so SAG Awards.
So what's going to happen is that when everything else come down the line, we're going to see what other movies they're talking about, mm-hmm. and then we're going to see where Mudbound was going to be in that category.
Exactly. So I would.
So right now we don't. More. Right yeah. now we really don't know, because Golden Globes is really not the important one of them all.
But it's the jump off.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. It's the jump off.
It used to be that whatever the Golden Globes list, the others follow. Not no more.
Yes, it does.
Not like last year.
Are you sure? No, you're not. Because it is.
Okay.
There's exceptions.
Okay.
And the good thing from last year, in all honesty, because we saw almost all of them, baby, didn't we?
Saw almost
all. Almost all of the movies.
Of what, Golden Globes?
No,
or?
Of the Oscars, which were Golden Globes. There was a certain people on each and one of them that you could have said, you should have got it. Oh, nope, you could have had the other one. So it's like a fine line between the two, but it wasn't like outright wrong. Now, remember the other year where they supposed to, there was a couple of people like Sylvester Stallone. He played a better role than somebody who won, but they didn't give it to Sylvester Stallone. They didn't give it to Eddie Murphy but they gave him the Golden Globes, and then he started fucking up, and then he didn't get the Oscar.
But that's what I was saying. I mean, there's a lot of them don't exactly match. That, you know, we were saying
it's okay. Never exact, baby. So it's never going to be exact.
Okay.
I mean, it shouldn't be exact. The fact that you giving it a 7 and me a 7.5, it's not going to be exact. So that's my point on, you know, when you get the Golden Globes, it's people who make a decision to say, you know what? This is what I feel. Well, you're wrong. Well, I'm right. And this is how I'm going to vote. And then the majority wins. So if the majority goes on your side, guess what? You win. And the person you chose wins. If the majority go on my side, I win. And the person that you thought, I still think they were better. Yeah, I got that. But I'm not guaranteeing her a win, though, baby. I'm not.
I'm telling you, she's not going to win.
So she don't have to win.
But I'm just telling you this. This is her first nomination. It's a Golden Globe nomination. Mm-hmm. If they give her, because she's good, she did just a good role, she's most likely going to get more movie role parts.
Maybe. Because remember, Dee Reese is pretty much a new director.
Yeah, but she's done, she did the Betsy.
Bessie
from HBO, and it was a very good movie.
One.
Okay. That's how she got this one. You know, because you know they got plenty of people out there who do damn music videos and get to do movies.
Yeah. So that's how. Yeah, a lot of them who does music videos. David Fincher was a music video guy, and he's doing major goddamn movies, and he's an outstanding director. But he started doing major pictures before he got nominated. Major. Her? She's really recent. She's very recent. So was Steve McQueen, remember?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have that many movies, but the movies that he came out with were like, damn, this guy's phenomenal. Gotcha. Simple as that. But again, baby, I'm not guaranteeing her a win. I just think if she wins, it'll be good. I think she deserves to be nominated.
Of course not. I'm not going to say she's not. I'm just saying she's not going to win.
But you're saying there's people that could be better than her that could win. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
You know, but anyway, we can go on forever. But, yep, 7 and 7/4. But Mudbound, worth the look at. Netflix, you got your Netflix on. Worth the look at. If you're looking at a really drama-laden, emotional kind of movie, this is it. This is the one. See, we didn't even tell you the ending, but I'm not going to say it now.
You don't want to tell you the ending.
And we normally do, but we're not going to tell you this time. But there's a dramatic twist at the end. But makes it really, really interesting. Makes it really interesting.
It's a very good movie. It's go back to the time of what black people have to be challenged being from the war, whether we're white or black,
yep.
And how it relates to all veterans or all people in war situations and yep. how they can relate to it. And I can tell you for a fact that, you know, his family was racist and he came back saying, you know, I know, you know, that somebody has protected me or saved my life mm-hmm. who was not of his color.
Yep.
And we have, my husband being in the military, well, I could say I'm in the military with him. And he was in there for 15 years, 20 years. And meeting white people who were born in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And saying to my husband, to us, y'all changed my life and how I see people of color.
No, so, black people.
Black people.
Yeah, they didn't say people of color.
I like that word anyway.
Yeah.
But changed his life with being around black people. And what was his name, babe?
Who's that?
The white guy who loved...
Severin.
Severin. Oh, I used to love Severin. And he loved Shanisha.
Mm-hmm.
He loved our baby. Come over there just to hang out with us and our baby. But this is what this... You know, when I seen it, that's the first thing I thought. And so I thought this movie was well done. Very, very well done. And, you know, having that perspective in that movie was amazing.
Worth the nomination?
The movie worth the nomination? Mm-hmm. Or was the movie nominated?
I didn't ask you that. I said, is it worth a nomination?
Yes, it's worth a nomination. And the Golden Globe, if it was. Yes.
Not as an Oscar, though?
I don't know. I don't know.
So, The Shape of Water, we haven't seen. Call Me by Your Name, Dunkirk and The Post. So, we haven't seen The Post. I think that's a hyped up movie because of the actors as well as the director. I think it's a hyped up movie. Call Me by Your Name, I think that's in the mode of Moonlight. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So, they saying, hey, look, something with gay related, but a really good storyline. They built on that. The suspense and comedic laden 3 billboards outside of Ebbing seems like a really interesting. I really want to see it though. That's one of them I do want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And The Shape of Water, I just thought that was such an interesting looking movie because it's a creature with a mute woman has a relationship.
Who's the director?
That's the Spanish guy.
I forget his name. Oh, I love him.
He's very creative.
I love
him. Every time we see him, he's very creative.
I mean, to me, doesn't Every time my daughter's tarp. Oh, what's his name?
Guillermo de Toro.
Yes, that's him. I can't pronounce his name, but I mean, when we saw his first movie with the
that's not his first movie. That was
what's the one?
One of his most well-known movies.
His brilliant movie. Didn't he win for it too?
I think he did. Yeah. Pan's Labyrinth.
Yes. Oh, when you told me about him, and that was the first movie I had seen that he's done, for me, that changed my life by watching. Every time I hear, and he did the TV series, the vampire TV series, and he said he didn't want to do no more. I guess he got tired of it.
The Strain.
Yeah.
Which was an amazing, that was really interesting too.
Yeah, and I was like, he's not going to do this for long because he's not that kind of person. You know what I'm saying?
So he did the Hellboy movie. He did Blade 2, which was one of the better ones too. Pacific Rim with the robots, and now they have a sequel to that.
Is he doing that one too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
And the one that we didn't see of his was Crimson Peak. That was like 2 years ago. And it didn't get a lot of... they didn't rate that pretty well. It was like a weird... In the aftermath of a family... An aspiring author is torn between love for her childhood friend and the temptation of a mysterious outsider. It didn't do well.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. But he's really good. He's very good.
He is really good.
But he produces a lot now, too.
Oh, so my goodness.
He produces a whole
Pan's
lot.
Pan's Labyrinth was like the... I can't, to this day, I can't get that out of my head.
Guess what? He's doing one of my favorite anime series.
Who? What he's doing?
It's called Monster. It's about a doctor who's searching his psychopath who kills people. And people don't know it's this one charismatic young boy, and he looks so innocent. And his doctor is going right, and they think the doctor is doing it because since he's chasing him, the doctor winds up to be part of, he's always in the area where somebody's being killed. So they think it's him. Then he gets on the run, and it's gonna be a TV series. Oh my God. Anyway, we're getting off way off
topic. Way, 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 way off.
Anywho.
But anyway, okay, so.
Mudbound, 7 and 7.75. Really good movie. Oscar-worthy movie. And when we start talking about our Oscar movies, this one should be part of it, I think. So, anything more, Booby?
No, darling.
So, there we are, Urban Lifestyle Cafe, and you can see us on BougieBlackBrother.com or BougieBlackBro in Instagram and IG, Fine Black Woman, and IG and Twitter, Facebook, find us on the Bougie Black Brother Network, and we're all over there, so iTunes, Spreaker and Radio FM. We have almost all the downloads, so you can download our podcast. So I hope you enjoyed this one, and we'll be seeing you soon on Urban Lifestyle Cafe.